Greetings, Perf Bites listeners. It's your old friend Satan here again, and I'm proud to introduce the News of the Damned.
Hello, Perf Bites listeners. My name's Richard Bishop. I work for Trust IV as a performance tester in the UK. I've known James and Mark for some time, and the thing that's prompted this perf rant is basically a particularly poor set of embarrassing site failures in the UK. So many that they've been in the national news, and lots of things are going wrong, and I'm sure it's symptomatic of what's generally going wrong in the performance testing industry. As I mentioned, we've had some embarrassing failures. I don't particularly want to criticise any performance testers or the companies behind these. I just want to sympathise and empathise with the problems that they're likely to be facing. I've been working as a tester in the UK for around 15 years, so although I have no experience directly of the companies that are affected, I can well imagine the sort of problems that the testers at these companies are facing. Firstly, the sites that have had problems that have made the news this week. The biggest is Now TV, which is owned by Sky, which is one of the major satellite broadcasters here in the UK. They basically have a subscription-based TV service, primarily through satellite dishes, but it's also possible to get Sky services delivered through other means. They have a subsidiary called Now TV, which basically delivers through broadband to a set-top box or a PC or games console, iPad, those kind of things. The idea being that people who don't have a subscription to Sky can sign up for individual films or entertainment shows, sporting events, and effectively watch on demand. And that's what happened last weekend. It was the last day of the UK Premier League football season, and it was basically right down to the very last day as to who would win. Both Liverpool Football Club and Manchester City were vying for the opportunity to be made champions on this, you know, last day of the season, and so thousands of people were pretty excited to see how things were going to pan out. And my colleague, Mahesh Johal, who blogged about this, basically described his experience. He doesn't have Sky, so he decided he was going to get a Now TV subscription to watch the final game. And to put it in his words, he said his excitement quickly turned to frustration as the stream of the Man City game stopped 2 minutes after kickoff, and all he got was the error message that said, oops, something went wrong, please come back later. You know, he tried to log in again, and he was constantly referred to the Now TV help page. He was a first-time user, and basically he said that in the past he'd heard good reviews, but after this particular set of problems, he's unlikely to want to use it again. He was obviously disappointed because this is basically the biggest day of the football season, and to have a problem like this is unacceptable to him. He then took to Twitter, along with thousands of other people, and saw all the tweets, people moaning and complaining about this. And it appeared that the problems weren't just limited to Now TV. Sky also have a service called Sky Go, which basically means if you have a Sky subscription and you're away at someone's house for the weekend or whatever, you can take your Sky subscription with you and watch your normal sort of the channels that you're able to watch at home on your iPad or whatever. And the users of that system were complaining as well. So it was obviously something pretty significant which affected this. Mahesh and plenty of other viewers did at least console themselves with the fact that this season finale wasn't quite the same cliffhanger as it was in 2012, when the actual title-winning goal was scored in the last 3 or 4 seconds of the season. You know, half an hour into the game, it was pretty obvious which way it was going to go, and I dare say that helped ease some frustrations. After the fact, Now TV's done a very good job of looking after the customers who complained. Everyone's been given full refunds. vouchers and things to watch other programs, other content, and even Mahesh's opinion has softened. So hopefully no long-term damage done to the business, but it does appear that they need to invest more in testing, either giving testers more time, obviously time is money, but giving them more time to do a good job, potentially better tools. I'm speculating because I've no idea what they use. Better, bigger test environments, or maybe even just listening to testers. I've worked in plenty of places where there's a huge drive to get something in for a specific deadline, and testers, generally a pretty conservative bunch, they don't necessarily want to take risks or stick their neck out over a particular application, and sometimes they want to just hold back and say, well, you know, if it was me, I'd wait another week or two before we put it in. But businesses often overrule testers and push things in, and so it's possible that kind of thing has contributed to this this problem that they faced. So still on the theme of football, we get to our third site for News of the Damned from the UK. Rio Ferdinand is a famous UK footballer. I'm aware that many Perth Bites listeners aren't based in the UK, so I'm having to explain some of this to you. So UK listeners, I'll apologise for spoon-feeding you. But basically, he's announced that he's going to leave another Manchester club, Manchester United, which I'm sure even the American listeners will have heard of. He wears the shirt number 5, and he has a magazine called 5 Mag, which sells clothing and all sorts of things. And when he tweeted to say he was going to leave Manchester United, he tweeted to a news article, tweeted a link to a news article that was on his own website. The problem is he has 5.4 million followers on Twitter, and so they all flocked to his website, which failed. Now that's a bit of a one-off. It's newsworthy, but it's probably not catastrophic for him or for his reputation. This brings us on to the next sporting performance test problem. Glasgow 2014. This summer, from the 23rd of July to the 3rd of August, there's going to be the 20th Commonwealth Games. The Commonwealth Games is basically a kind of mini Olympics for all the countries that used to be part of the British Empire, and many of whom are now part of the Commonwealth. And they send their athletes to a different Commonwealth country on a regular basis. And this year, 2014, it's Glasgow's turn to host the events. We reported on this last year in the Trust IV blog because they had problems with their website when they started to sell tickets around about 12 months ago, I think. It wasn't a total disaster. The site just slowed down a little bit, which I think at the time was seen as reasonably successful. You know, people moaned a bit, but, no major crashes. But this time we've got the final a few hundred thousand tickets, I think, going up for sale. And unfortunately, the site's been beset by problems again. People have been consequently ringing to buy tickets, and because of the large number of people who've failed to buy tickets online, there's also been problems with the phone system for the call centre that's selling these tickets. The company running the call centre is called TalkTalk, and basically because of the large number of people who've been on hold or hearing an engaged tone when they try and dial and buy tickets, something's gone wrong with their charging system, and people have been charged for calls despite the fact they didn't actually get through. So both Ticketmaster and TalkTalk have been forced to apologise for problems, which potentially are all interrelated. Now, Borland blogged about that this week, and a chap called Chris Livesey. So Chris has written a blog post called Kicked Into Touch and Falling at the First Hurdle, because he's effectively referring to two loads of problems that have affected Ticketmaster this week. The first, which I've already mentioned, is the Commonwealth Games. But the other thing that was due to happen this week is 500,000 tickets were due to go on sale for the 2015 Rugby World Cup. And because of the problems with Ticketmaster, it looks like they've put that on hold for around 3 weeks because they want to increase the amount of performance testing that they do before things go on sale. Chris goes on to mention the fact that this isn't new news, really. Ticketmaster have had problems going back quite some time. They've had problems when selling concert tickets and all those kind of things. But they also were the company behind the London Olympics, and there were problems initially when the Olympics tickets went on sale. And as Chris goes on to say at the end of his blog, for Ticketmaster, this is potentially a shame rather than an out-and-out disaster. He's basically said that the system's no doubt going to be up and running again. And if the events that they're selling tickets for, that's the Rugby World Cup, the Commonwealth Games and so on, are as successful as the London Olympics was, no one's going to remember the ticketing problems that that preceded the main event. But he does go on at the end. He says at least they won't remember those until the next time it happens, and the time after, and the time after that. Now, I've discussed problems with ticketing companies in the past, and number of people I've spoken to have a theory that ticketing companies don't really care about performance problems. If their website crashes when they're selling Beyonce tickets or whatever, it makes the headlines and it helps build the hype around a particular event. But I'm not convinced, and I think that reputational damage has to be a risk that these companies should find unacceptable. And it's possible that maybe they've decided that in terms of reputational damage, enough is enough. As I mentioned, they have now delayed the sale of the Rugby World Cup tickets. And this has been widely reported by BBC, national newspapers, and so it's all over the web. So perhaps they've learnt their lesson. Only time will tell. So finally, on a much smaller scale, Blackpool Tower, which is a tourist attraction in the UK, built in Victorian times, is 120 years old this year. And their website, promoting the fact that they're as old as they now are, has just crashed when they've tried to promote things. So there we are, from the biggest, the Skies and Now TVs and the Commonwealth Games, right down to Blackpool Tower, the effects of web performance are widely felt. These are all things that have made national and now, through Perf Bites, potentially international audiences. So they're all things that people need to be aware of when they're developing sites. So this finally brings me on to what could have gone wrong. And it's very difficult to speculate for each of these different websites and companies what's gone wrong without inside knowledge. But as a tester who's faced all sorts of problems on customer sites before, obviously I'm in a position to speculate. Firstly, in my opinion, lots of companies believe the hype from the test tool vendors. There's been a lot of pressure to reduce the amount of time that testers spend testing. And one of the things that they spend a lot of time doing, potentially, is scripting. So the test tool vendors all say that their tools are easy to use. You just give it to an amateur, they record what goes on, hit play, simulate 1,000 users, everything's done. It's not quite as straightforward as that, and to test well takes time. There's been a tendency, I think, because of the hype from tool vendors to employ underskilled resources, often high caliber individuals, but people without lots of breadth and depth of experience. Cheap testers aren't always good testers, and sometimes it's better just to pay extra and get one good worker than have to try and explain to a team of three or four how to do something and try and manage them all collaborating together to do the same amount of work that one experienced tester might be capable of. So that's one thing. The other thing is I think that the availability of test environments is often difficult. People are often fighting over test environments. Testers don't get as much time to repeat tests and draw conclusions. Often large-scale test environments aren't available. A lot of times I've been asked to run a test with a small number of users and then extrapolate the results up. And that's just not always possible because you don't know where the next bottleneck is going to be. You could say, okay, well, with lots of CPU headroom, but you don't know that you're, only a few bytes away from using up all your bandwidth, for example. And so there's things like that I think can be difficult. Also, people don't test in a production-like environment, and that's not just based on size. That can also be based on network infrastructure. If you do all your testing at 100 megabits a second internally with an organization, and then you publish your application to thousands of users over slower connections, each of those users hold connections open for longer, and the actual performance profile of your application completely changes. And so things like network emulation, things like that become important. Or maybe even distributing your load across the internet using cloud-based load generators. Something like that might be useful. So I think testers need the ability to think outside their organization and think about the wider implications of how an application is going to be deployed and used. Finally, I think it's the age-old problem for testers: too little testing done too late. As development life cycles extend and people face problems, there's always, oh, well, we'll just use up a day of contingency here or there, or things will be delivered to testers perhaps a week late or a couple of weeks late. And the difficulty with that is that the go-live date for an application is often fixed. You know, you'll say, for example, I'm going live on the 1st of July and I'll give the testers a month to test. But often you'll find developers are eating into tester time, and consequently things don't get tested as thoroughly as perhaps they should. Now, obviously, it's pure speculation as to what could have caused the performance problems for these companies in the UK, but obviously I'll be watching with interest how they repair their reputational damage and go on from this point. And yes, if any of them want to get in touch, then I'm quite sure that the Perf Bytes people will put them in touch with me or my company, and we'd obviously be glad to help. So it just remains to say thanks very much to James and Mark for inviting me on Perf Bytes. I've listened on and off for some time now, and it's been great to get to know them in person when I met them at events like HP Discover over recent years. So thanks for listening. I've been the roving reporter this episode of Perf Bytes in the UK. Ha 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 ha